jaye with some sense, you understand? Just, you know, with moderation, everything. Don't drink and drive. Don't stay out late, especially if your area is unsafe. I'm saying this because of some reports that we're getting. So please be very, very careful. Be extremely careful out there, all right? Now, welcome to the last 1 hour of the Morning Crossfire here on Nigeria Info. It's a roundtable day, 9 o'clock after this program. All Nigeria Info OAPs would come in here and we'll have a conversation as regards all the biggest stories in the country this year. So in the meantime, stay with me. Let's talk about the war on drugs, the federal government's war on drugs. Is it too late? Never too late. What are we doing to help our young ones, our old ones, in defeating drug addiction? I have joining us right now the director of media and advocacy, NDLEA, Mr. Femi Babafemi. He joins us live all the way from Abuja Valley Telephone. Mr. Femi, good morning to you.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
How are you doing, sir?
Very well, thank you.
Fantastic. Complimentary season to you, first and foremost.
Same to you.
I'm going to start from the front straight. Tell me, just put it on the table right now. How bad is the situation when we talk about drugs in Nigeria?
Well, if you go by the results of the last survey conducted by UNODC, well, by our own National Bureau of Statistics,
okay,
supported by the UNODC, we have, I think, about 15 million Nigerians abusing various substances. Sorry, I'm trying to get settled somewhere.
Okay. All right. While we wait for my guests to settle down pretty well, please do know that you can join us on Facebook and on YouTube. We're live on those two platforms, Nigeria Info 99.3. That's Nigeria Info 99.3. If you've got questions for my guests, just drop your questions there. I will come in and out to come take your thoughts, then come go to my guests, come to your questions as we go along. Mr. Femi, you can go on now.
Okay. Now, out of about 15 million Nigerians who the survey showed had abused drugs in the previous year, we have about 10.6 million of them abusing cannabis, which we commonly call Idia hemp.
Igbo?
Yeah, Igbo. Now, that gives us, going by our own population,
okay,
that gives us, that tells us that 1 out of 7 Nigerians abuse drugs. And of this figure, of those that abuse drugs, 1 in every 4 is a woman. Now, if you put the population of those abusing cannabis alone, that figure alone is more than the population of 1, 2, 3 African countries put together. So that paints a very grim picture of the situation we have in our hands. And again, over time, we've been able to establish that there is a strong nexus between the rate, that's between drug abuse problem, and the level of insecurity we have in the country at the moment. Because when our security forces clear camps occupied by bandits, terrorists, kidnappers, in their camps you have remnants of drugs. And even of recent, you've seen quite a number of kidnappers asking for drugs as ransom.
As ransom.
That is, you give them drugs for ransom. So that goes a long way to confirm that these people cannot, in their right senses, do what they are doing, except they are being propelled by these illicit substances.
What do you know that drive this trend? Apart from the security that you have mentioned now, what could be the sole, maybe not the sole, but one of the major reasons why we now have drugs as part of our, as part of the epidemic we're facing?
Drugs now becoming...
Do you understand?
A part of our culture.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, quite a number of factors, I'll tell you frankly, are responsible. Now, these days, like I do say, this problem in most cases starts from the home.
Hmm.
Poor parenting. You have quite a number of parents who give back to children that they don't even care about, that they don't know what they do. You see parents who even on their own abuse drugs, and they sell their children to go and buy drugs for them. Now these children, when they buy drugs and they see their parents taking the same drugs, what do you expect them? Someday, no matter how young they are, they want to experiment with what they are seeing their parents do. That is one. Two, you also have the problem, you also have the issue of social media influence. You have quite a number of influencers, celebrities on social media who flaunt these things. And in the process, they influence millions of young people. That way, these young people will lose track, and quite a number of millions of lives are ruined that way. That is another one. Then you also have the problem of peer influence. You see, you have these children, they go out, whether in the school, to rendezvous, and quite a number of their places they go to mix with others. They see what others do. And so they look like outcasts in the midst of these their friends because they are not doing what those ones do. And in the process, they want to blend. They want to belong, in quote. And in doing that, they get involved and they become dependent. Then you also have the problem of, which is most common in a part of the country, polygamy. When you see a single man marrying 3, 4, 5 wives, and in the process, some wives are neglected. In that process, some of them get into depression or get into some bad situations. And now to get themselves, to relieve themselves, they have to look for help, you know, get something to relieve them through drugs. That way they get dependent. I can go on and on. Then the most important, let me also bring this, lest I forget.
Yeah.
Poverty.
Poverty. Poverty.
Poverty.
Poverty.
Unemployment.
Hmm.
Quite a number of people, because we interact with them, and that's why it is part of our methodology in NDLA. It's not everybody we arrest that will send to jail. Yes. Because we see some people as victims of the circumstance of these drugs. We see them as victims. So we don't treat them as criminals. Yeah, it's not everybody we see that we treat as criminals. Except we profile you and we know that you are a recidivist.
Fantastic.
Now,
fantastic.
When people are unemployed, they are jobless, some are homeless, there is the tendency for them to want to get something, that will relieve them of the pain, the agony they are going through. And that is drug. But then we always say, even if you go into these drugs, the drug gives you some temporary high, like 1 hour, 2 hours. After that, the problem still goes, comes back to you, looking at you straight in the face. So in essence, it doesn't solve the problem. So your priority should be how to get engaged, how to solve this problem. And that's where the National Drug Control Master Plan 2021 to 2025 that was launched last week. These are some of the issues addressed in that master plan to get all the stakeholders to do their bit, the state governors, the local government, the various MDAs, that is ministries, parastatals, departments and agencies, the civil society organizations, and local and international partners, faith-based organizations, community-based organizations, so that all collectively we can address quite a number of these issues. That way, why the NDLA, which is the lead agency in drug supply reduction, when we are mopping up the drugs on the street, when we are trying to cut access and availability of these drugs, then we are not having the drug demand reduction side would be collectively tackled by a number of all stakeholders, those whose responsibilities are to address the issue of unemployment and poverty. They are doing their bit so that we're not having demand for these drugs. When you don't have demand, the suppliers will have no market. Then on our own hand, when we also mop up and cut the pipelines for these supplies, the demand will also reduce. And that's why I can tell you today, because of the volume of drugs that the NDLA has mopped up this year alone, this we are talking of over 3 million kilograms of drugs. Is huge.
That may
last nations for years. So in view of the volume of drugs we have mopped up alone, you can see from our feedbacks from the fields, from the markets, from everywhere, you can see the price, because these drugs are no longer as available other except for cannabis. Even the cannabis, we are mopping them up, destroy the pipelines, go into the forest to destroy the farms. You can see the prices going up, getting out of reach. Getting out of the reach of these people. So what that tells you is, when all the various stakeholders do the needful, when we all, based on the NDCMP that was launched last week, then this problem would have been drastically reduced. And if we can take out the drug problem out of the challenges we have at the moment, I'm talking of the security challenges, we would have reduced that. When that equation is taken out, we would have reduced the problem of security challenges probably by about half or 60%.
Let me talk to you, Mr. Femi. Let me talk to you about this particular area that I think we can touch on. And that is, I mean, if we're talking about numbers and figures, I'm interested in what part of Nigeria is most affected by drug abuse, drug trafficking, whatever it is, drugs. Do we have figures and numbers as regards that?
Yeah, I can tell you that where you are, speaking from at the moment, that appears to be the epicenter.
That's in Victoria Island.
I'm talking of Lagos Southwest.
Lagos Southwest.
Yes, because of understandably the metropolitan nature of Lagos, because of the borders, and because of the coastal, its location as a coastal area. I'm sure recently you see how we intercepted, because we're going off, we're making sure we're destroying cannabis, which is the most commonly abused.
That's right.
Destroying them from the farms and everywhere, taking them off the street. You can see people, the cartels, even going to a neighboring country to go and import these drugs. We recently intercepted some brought in through the waterways to Eco Atlantic Beach, on the island, the VI there, for distribution to parts of the state and other parts of the country. But we're able to track them and take that off from them. So the results of the last survey conducted, Lagos has the highest prevalence. Like I told you, because of obvious reasons. Now, when you talk of regions, Southwest, before you come to Southeast, South, I mean, because you come to Southeast, North, West, Northeast, then North Central. I think North Central has the lowest.
Mr. Femi, let's go to the telephone, take one or two calls, before we enter our first break on the program this morning. If you're just joining us, you're welcome. It's a Morning Crossfire here. Mr. Femi Babafemi is the Director of Media and Advocacy and the NDLEA. He joins us via the telephone all the way from Abuja this morning. So you're very free to call in and share your thought on our conversation this morning on the drugs war. How effective can, how well can we fight this war to make us win it effectively? I'm going to get to that part with Mr. Femi much later. But let me hear from you, Lagos. When you're calling me, please go straight to the point. We don't have much. You know that we don't usually have time on this program. Emmanuel is joining us right now. Let's speak with Emmanuel very quickly. Emmanuel, morning to you.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you, Emmanuel. Go on.
All right. So I'm an Uber driver.
Okay.
So I wanted to say that if your guest would have said any other region have the highest, I would have faulted it. Lagos is the epic center. Any young lady, young man, young boy you carry, they are into drugs. If they see police, they will tell you you should not pass that road. You should avoid them. They will ask you to speed up so that they will not catch them because they have some drugs. In fact, I can tell you that 80% of the young girls you carry in Lagos, they are into drugs. So the thing is really endemic.
Thank you. Thank you, Mane. We're going to speak on Friday now. Friday, hi. Morning to you.
Yeah, good morning, Sherry.
Morning.
Please, I want to ask a question, Sherry.
Yes, please.
Sherry, when you go to our papa, you go to all these bus stops, you see all kind of drugs in sachets, all this production, all this alcohol that don't have NADAC number, they don't have address. They sell them in open plate in sachets. Then what is NADAC doing about it? Because you will see some young man, even old people, they will buy mineral, a bottle of mineral. They buy this sachet, they miss it. When you see them taking it, you see that they are taking a mineral. But actually, they are taking a drug. Then what is NADAC doing about it? Because it's like they are fight. It just against this Indian hand. But all this hard drug production inside sachet.
Thank you.
I want to know what they are doing about it.
Thank you, Friday. Let's take one more, then we go to Mr. Femi. Good morning to you. Charlie. Good morning.
Yeah, good morning.
Yes, please.
Yeah, you have Solomon on the line.
Welcome, sir.
Thank you for bringing this topic, and I greet your guests in the studio. I think with his comment that I listened to this morning, it has shown to me, and that is what I've been saying, that we are sitting on a keg of gunpowder, which is still going to explode. Look, let me call our attention to those who are selling all these kai-kai at the motor park. Look, they have some of this drug that is even dangerous, more than Indian hemp. I'm telling you. So, our leader in Southwest, think twice. So, thank you.
Thank you, Solomon, for calling me. I appreciate it. Mr. Femi, let me come to you about you, the last two callers mentioned those that.
Yeah, the facet alcohol.
Yes, yes.
Now, let me clarify something about this. The NDLA works with an act that stipulates what our responsibilities are.
41 going on 42 in about 5 seconds. Mr. Femi Babafemi, head director of media and advocacy NDLEA, is with us here on the show this morning. Mr. Femi, thank you for staying on the line. Thank you.
Thank you for keeping me here,
Sherry. Apologies for that. Let's quickly move on. You were saying something before the break.
Yeah, yes. I was talking about the comment made by Friday and Solomon,
right,
the last two callers,
right,
that they were talking about actually this sachet alcohol sold at parks and bus stops.
Right.
Yes, some of these things are new substances or drinks that crept in much later after the establishment of NDLA through its through the decree and the act of parliament. So they were never in consideration at the point these laws were made. And but then I believe that other stakeholders who are responsible for things like this would at this moment or have the means at this moment to take care of this. But our law at the moment does not allow us go into alcohol, even though alcohol can be taken as drugs. I mean, it's also regarded as drugs, but it's not banned or controlled by our laws at the moment. I don't know if you understand. So we can only work within our establishment act, own laws.
I get
that.
We
cannot go outside of those. But then in situations where we see people mix some of these drinks with drugs that are already mentioned or that exist within our path, then we have a responsibility to do. That's why you have things, some new psychoactive substances, things you call that were never in consideration before, things you call squishies, you know, mixing drugs,
all sorts of things.
Drinks. You see, when you have things like that, then we have the responsibility, and that's why we have not just limited ourselves to the major big ones. We also read these small elements to be able to take them off the streets. But when you go to the nitty-gritty of those that sell this sachet alcohol, at the moment, until our laws are amended to allow us take care of some of, I mean, the things like this, we may not be able to do much other than to, like we've been doing, taking advocacy to the parks, to the various stakeholders, those that actually consume this thing, to warn them about the dangers in some of the things they are consuming. And that's why you'll be seeing us move from state to state, go to motor parks, go to the union, the transport union leaders and co, to be able to talk to them, address some of these issues. And like what the first caller also, Emmanuel, I think Emmanuel obviously agreed with the results of the last survey.
Yeah.
That is, I mean, taking Lagos as
the epicenter
with the highest prevalence rate in the country. So it's just an agreement. But then the good thing is, like I told you, the situation is not without remedy, and that's why the NDLA is doing all that we could. I tell you, between January and now,
we've
arrested well over 11,000 traffickers, people. That is huge. And out of this, I can tell you that we have about 5,000 cases filed in court, out of which more than 1,000 of them have been jailed and are serving jail terms as we speak. Over 3,000 others are ongoing. They are facing trial as we speak.
And out of 11,000, you have 5,000 in court. What happens to the remaining 6,000?
Yeah, that, like I told you, there are some situations. What we do is not all about punitive.
Yeah.
In some situations, when we review the particular case, that gives us the next thing to do, the next strategy to adopt to employ, whether to send this person to jail or to take this person in, counsel and rehabilitate the person. Because the whole essence is just to take as many people as possible off the
drugs,
the drug addiction, off drug addiction. So you have that gives us, we have about 5,579 persons that have been cancelled and rehabilitated within the same period. So within the same period, I've just told you, that is between January and now. That gives us a fair balance between our drug supply reduction efforts and our drug demand reduction efforts. Because let me tell you something, the main solution to all of this is actually to prevent people from going into this. Now, if you have about 15 million Nigerians who abuse drugs, what about the remaining 185 million? So that should be a major focus. And that's exactly what we're doing, bringing all the stakeholders together so that we all can take ownership of the fight, buy into it, take ownership of it, so that we can save as many lives as possible, so that you have the majority, 185 million, who are not on drugs yet, so that
not to go on drugs,
slip into, yes. So that's why we're telling people the dangers inherent in these things. They destroy your dreams, they destroy your future, they destroy your health.
Let me talk to you, Mr. Femi. There's this allegation that I have heard about NDLEA officers reselling seized drugs. In fact, some NDLEA officers, from these allegations that people have sent in, have turned themselves into a cartel where they have access to these seized drugs and then they distribute it. They have their own networks. Have you heard of this?
I don't think that is possible. It could have happened in the past.
Okay.
I'll tell you why. It could have happened in the past. But as I speak with you, that is absolutely impossible. Anybody, like, there are different measures, there are different mechanisms put in place now that makes it extremely impossible for anybody to tamper or tinker with drug exhibits.
Okay.
Because one, apart from the periodic or the regular audit of this drug exhibit across all the commands, there is also we also have in place a task force directly responsible to the chairman chief executive of the agency that moves around uninvited, can just come. They are in different commands as we speak. They move around across the country to take inventory of drug exhibits. Take that with the reports we had, compare that with the reports we had actually received at the headquarters.
Yeah.
You know, they have their own information. And don't also forget, we have different technological means to monitor officers at the moment, to monitor exhibits and what is going on in the different commands. Like I told you, this makes that kind of a possibility extremely difficult for anybody to want to do. And you know, if you do that, it's the most grievous of all offenses in the NDLA today. You tamper with drug exhibits. One, you would have lost your commission. That is, you would have lost your job.
Yeah.
Two, life jail.
Life in jail.
So how would anybody want to risk all of that because of it's even extremely difficult because I we have different means and measures mechanisms in place to monitor and make sure that things like this don't happen in the agency. I can beat my chest and tell you, Sherry.
We must go
and
now.
Let me also state,
yes,
should anybody have any such information,
yes,
please, they should not hesitate to go on to send a message to our social media. I have access to that. The chairman of the agency, Jeremiah, has access to our social media handles. If you send a message to our inbox, I receive directly, he receives directly. If anybody has any information of any sort of thing, let them tell us.
What is your social media, Mr. Femi? Facebook?
For instance, on Facebook,
yes,
NDLEA01.
NDLEA01.
Yes,
okay.
On Instagram, NDLA _ Nigeria.
That's right. Fantastic.
So, anybody can send us inbox messages.
Okay.
In those on those handles, and
you'll get it.
Yesterday we are receiving. We have one thing about this problem is because of the way NDLA is bringing up a lot of things these days, people are now getting more aware. The level of consciousness, we are glad that the level of consciousness is high, and so we receive information every day,
fantastic,
every minute,
fantastic,
every second.
Mr. Femi,
I treated quite a number of them. Yeah.
We must go now. We must go now. It looks as though we have to do this again, because I wanted to ask the role of technology. I wanted to also talk to you about the problems, the challenges the FCC is facing, but we don't have much time. Hopefully, we'll find another time and bring you on the show again.
Very well, sir.
Thank you so much, Mr. Femi Babafemi, for joining us today. Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
All right. Mr. Femi Babafemi is the Director of Media and Advocacy, NDLEA. He joined us via the telephone from Abuja.